Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
Welcome to the UFO Files. We're here in Roswell, New Mexico, and Gloria Hawker is with us. Gloria, I see you every year here.
For the last 4 years, since my book, Morning Glory, Diary of an Alien Abductee, was published.
Gloria, your book is a great read. I've heard lots of people talk and say good things about it. What time frame are we talking about with Morning Glory?
My awakening, meaning first conscious memory, occurred in September of 1988.
And do you live in New Mexico?
Yes, I do. Live in Albuquerque.
Yeah, so did it happen here in New Mexico?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Could you tell us a little bit about the first thing that you remember, the first incident?
I would like to explain first that you're looking at a person here, Jerry, that was so naive in believing that our universe was just very small. I knew of our planets, you know, Saturn, Mars, etc.
Right.
And that we were basically the only human species, no other species.
Mm-hmm.
And above our small universe is heaven where God resides, you know, where we go.
Sure.
In September, after an accident, which...
You were talking about a car accident or something?
No, I was on my way to work at University Hospital. Mm-hmm. I used to work there.
Are you
in
a
hospital.
Nurse? Or?
No, I was a clerical secretary.
Okay.
I used to work for several doctors.
Okay.
And there was a very hard push on my back, which threw me down about 10 stairs. There was no human that did this. And witnesses say that I literally flew towards this concrete wall. I injured both legs severely, had a slight concussion. The question was, who did it and why did I fly through the air in such a manner? That was answered a couple nights later.
While you were still in the hospital?
No, I was at home now.
Mm-hmm.
And not on any medication because I was having circulation problems.
Okay.
About 10:30 at night. I need to back up. I'm sorry.
Hey, that's easy enough, Gloria. Back up. We're backed up. Go ahead and start again.
My children and I had just come home from visiting my folks around 10:30. I had gone upstairs to put away some clothing because I had just washed. And the outside balcony door was open, and this light, a very strong light, caught my eye. So I walked to the door and out to the balcony. And during this time, it's balloon fiesta time.
Yes, which is famous in Albuquerque.
Yes.
Right.
And at that point in time, they would allow hot air balloons to travel over the Sandia Mountains. But the question was, why is this balloonist out at 10:30 at night?
Mm-hmm.
Standing there several moments, minutes, this balloon doesn't move. And you don't hear the gas being ignited. It was there for very long time, and eventually I called my children, come up and look at the balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And the strange thing about it was, we would look through the binoculars, and a very large light, circular in shape, would turn off, go out, and you would see in a circular pattern smaller little lights.
Mm-hmm.
Like they were playing games with us. Every time we would look at them through the binoculars, this big light would go off and the small lights would go on. They were playing games, you know, repeatedly doing that. I called the TV station, radio stations, and of course they laughed at me.
Yeah.
Hear them really laughing at me. This object stayed there till after 3:30 the next morning. And before that, around 12:30, there was about six smaller circular lights across the Sandia Mountains, the crest of the Sandia Mountains, pulsating beautiful blues, peach, greens, orange colors.
Okay.
Okay, what were those? We don't know. Anyway, about 3:30 then, directly out of the canyon, directly towards my home, comes another bright white light in a circular pattern. Okay, then the 2 days later is when I had the accident.
And you think there's a connection, or you know there's a connection?
There was a connection, yes. And when I had the accident and I was bedridden, two nights later, lying in bed, and after family had left, about 10:30 and 11, all the lights are out in the house, mm-hmm. and the house is securely locked. My north wall of the bedroom began fluctuating these beautiful colors, same colors of the small little circular lights that were on the crest of the Sandy Mountains there in Albuquerque. And couldn't understand it. Why am I hallucinating? And I hadn't realized at that point how my anxiety, mm-hmm. there was a sudden burst of anxiety. I didn't feel right. I just felt strange. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know why. I thought maybe because of the accident, how my legs were, et cetera.
Sure.
I was concentrating on all my injuries. What came through the wall, to me, they were ungodly creatures. There were five of them. Now, grays, are the small grays.
They just materialized through the wall.
Through the wall, through this fluctuating. The colors were like in panels, literally glowing in panels.
What happened?
Two of them came to the edge of the bed where my feet were. Mm-hmm. One by my stomach area. Mm-hmm. Another gray by my head area, who immediately began rubbing his three long fingers into my head. That's what I remembered. I couldn't
right.
do anything.
Right.
And I found out I couldn't even move my body because I tried to scoot away and get out of the bed, you know, dragging
sure.
myself.
Sure, you were literally frozen.
I was literally frozen. They allowed me movement of my head. And what I call in my book, my head was going like 50 miles per hour.
Back and forth.
Because, yes, because of the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
The two at the end of the bed began unwrapping the thick bandage and padding they used on my legs
okay.
to cover me. They couldn't cast me yet.
Okay.
So, excuse me, they began to unwrap my legs. The one on my side by my stomach, I could not tell what he was doing, but I remember him, you know, fingers, mm-hmm. malignantly.
Could you feel the fingers, his
yes,
fingers?
Yes, and I couldn't tell what he was doing.
There was no pain?
Not at that time. I was scared stiff. And I was terrified because of the one mm-hmm. that was by my head, mm-hmm. going through my head. There was one gray by the door. And for some reason, I started hollering at him, "Don't you dare go down the hall and bother my
head." The maternal instinct.
Yes, yes. And I threatened him, you know, uh-huh. "You do not do that." But he did. Now, through years later, when Mr. Bud Hopkins worked with me
yes.
for hypnotherapy,
uh-huh.
We found out what they were doing to me. And that night, I had remembered a black satchel. It was kind of a weird box type
mm-hmm.
thing. He, one of the grays, had lifted this tube that was made out of like a skin, some type of hazy skin. And what it had in it, when I saw it, it was like peach and red in me.
Mm-hmm.
They took blood and within, you know, bone marrow, a lot of DNA.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what for. Anyway, why they unwrapped my legs was because so that they could get all of this. They were doing some type of work here on my stomach, on my ovaries and stuff.
Right.
And anyway, on that night as well, somehow, the gray, the one that was rubbing his hands through my hair, he did steal me and somehow implant it up here in my head. That's what came through hypnotherapy.
Okay, you found it through hypnotherapy. Okay.
Yes, many years later. After that one night, there are no words in our dictionary to explain what went on that night. I thought I was totally crazy, hallucinating, until my sister came over with Whitley Strieber's book, Communion, and showed me. She said, is this the ray or a picture of the being that came through the wall and did all this stuff to you? And as soon as I saw that picture, it was like I died. And I said, yes. And we talked about it.
No, your sister did this.
Yes.
And so she was aware of extraterrestrial.
Yes. She was more open-minded than I was, as well as my brother. And from that first night, I had a lot of paranormal happenings in the house, which was caused by these great species.
Now, did they make any noise at night? Or?
No. No.
Just went about their business with you. Did they rebandage your leg when they left? Or?
It was not put on as tight and correctly. Uh-huh. It was put on kind of like sloppy.
You were probably very hesitant to tell almost anybody.
Yes. This, between 1988 and 1993, I led a very secret life. You don't go around talking about it to anybody. You can't.
How many instances and over that five-year period do you think this happened to you? Countless times?
Maybe, yes, 50, over 50. And a confirmation was, seeing my daughter, having shared visits with my daughter.
This is the one, the hybrid?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you don't know for sure if you had a hybrid? Okay, your real daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me about that, why the confirmation was there.
With one abduction, waking up on their table, I heard this young girl crying.
Mm-hmm.
And after getting my faculties together, because normally a bright light is set right above you while you're laying on the table, I would also get very, very cold every time. So they would bring this very smooth, like a rubberish type blanket that was warm and always cover me. And they would always allow me to have head movement.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, you know, I'm looking around before they started working on me. And I looked towards the next table, and there's my daughter, my youngest daughter, lying there crying. And I do try to console her. And not knowing exactly where we were at the time, suspecting that, yes, could this be a possible spaceship or what,
mm-hmm.
you know? And having been there before, I knew what was going to happen. And I wanted to be strong for her. I didn't want to cry.
Mm-hmm.
But inside, I was crying.
Sure.
And how can I get up? I tried to get up. But because, you know, they paralyze you, I could not move to get up to go to her. So all I could tell her is, it'll be over soon. It's okay. We're here together. And thus, they go ahead with their gynecological examinations,
mm-hmm.
or inserting, you know, the needles, taking blood, taking whatever they wanted,
mm-hmm.
under the control. And at times I would find at least six of these gray beings. Sometimes the beings would be a little bit taller. Sometimes they would have brown type skin, which you call the brown grays.
Okay.
I even found grays with skin colors such as mine.
Okay.
Which...
So you're calling them gray simply because they weren't gray, but they were shaped like grays.
Well,
built like
I would
grays.
Call them grays at the time. I didn't know what
yeah.
to call them. I didn't know who
right,
they.
Right. I understand.
I would just call them.
So it wasn't the same. Teachers. It wasn't the same group always.
Yes.
Oh, it was.
And then it became to where I was introduced to the insectoids, the praying mantis,
mm-hmm.
Your Nordics. In fact, in my book, I described my Nordic as Paul Bunyan. because of the way that they had him dressed that night when I first met him. And to me,
how was that?
They had us in a small room, like what you can find in a department store, in a dress store, the dressing rooms.
Uh-huh.
And they had cubicles.
Okay.
And they had locked me into one cubicle. And I'm wondering, what's going on? And at this time, I had seen human beings on the ship. And
did the human beings act like they knew that you were there?
Yes, okay. Yes. And it was this human being lady, mm-hmm. this female, that took me to this, like, a dressing room.
So she literally doing whatever they wanted her to do.
Right, yes, yes, like she was working with them. And she takes me and puts me in this cubicle and locks the little lock. So I'm standing there, what's going to happen to me? You know, I'm really fearful yet at this point in time. And because of all the other horrific testing that they had done to me, I was literally scared.
Why, sure.
You know, and I guess...
Gloria, this probably still bothers you even to this day.
Well, I've adjusted now.
Okay.
I can accept, I can understand, because there's certain reasons for this. And anyway, okay, so I'm standing there waiting, what's going to happen to me now? And before I know it... looking through the little crack between the doors, they brought in this very huge man. And I had never seen a tall man like that before. I'm about 7 feet tall.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And he was very
muscular,
broad. Yes, yes. And so then she...
Was he built well?
Yes, just very big.
Like Andre the Giant.
Very handsome man, very handsome. And... So after she put him into a cubicle but could not close the door. So
he was that big.
Yeah.
The cubicle just wasn't made for his size.
Right. And she came and unlocked my door and she says, follow me. So I start to follow him, her, and I stopped by his cubicle and he was, you know, looking at me. I guess this is what was supposed to have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And at that moment... I was looking at him, and honestly, I felt so small. He looked about 12 feet tall. I was so intimidated by his size.
I can understand that.
And right away, he knew my name. He said, Gloria, they're not going to hurt you with this next test. It's going to be okay. Don't be afraid.
So he spoke English and
yes.
talked to you in a regular voice. And
Yes, and why I call him Paul Bunyan is because they had him dressed in a dark blue, white, black checkered shirt. He did have, like, jeans on.
Mm-hmm.
He has long shoulder length, dark, very dark brown hair. He had a dark beard.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell that he had, he was very compassionate. Even though he had a deep voice, it was very soft to me, consoling to
yes,
me.
Yes,
And from that point in time, it seemed like he was always wherever I was when they would abduct me.
Interesting. Was he one of them? I guess he was.
He was what you call a Nordic.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But, I mean, he was working in unison
yes.
with them?
Yes.
Wonder why they had him in the cubicle to begin with.
I have no idea. I really have
never
no
has,
idea.
I never said.
No, but that's where they set it up to meet him there.
Did this these experiences all of a sudden stop in 93?
Oh, no. No, they are still continuing.
He's still today?
Yes, today. I have met the reptilians, and the reptilians I thoroughly detest. Yes, they're very large. They have no respect at all for the human being.
Gloria, these reptilians, how did they communicate?
Telepathically as well.
Okay, okay. And that's the same with the praying mantis type. Did you talk to your daughter later about this?
Oh, verse. I mean, she had a lot of memory as well. And, yes, after every abduction, we would sit and we would talk this out. And during that time, too, we also met another mother and her daughter. And we shared experiences with this other mother and daughter.
Were they from Albuquerque, too?
Yes, we found each other, yes.
So this was all happening right in Albuquerque?
Yes, yes. Sometimes I would want to run away, you know, run away and hide.
Oh, sure.
And we would go to another state.
But they would find you.
And they'd find me, yeah. They would always find us, yes.
How old were you, basically, in your 20s? Or?
No, about 45
okay.
years old at the time. Yes, yes.
And you'd never had an experience before that you knew about?
No, no. Through hypnotherapy, though, with Mr. Hopkins, there is definite reason to believe they were in my life as a child because of some stories that I mentioned in my book mm-hmm. and stories that I mentioned to him that we went through in hypnotherapy.
I'm a big fan of Bud Hopkins, and it seems to me that he must have helped you figure out a reason.
Oh, he is such a wonderful, loving, caring, very good investigator, mm-hmm. very good hypnotherapist in this field.
I mean, you said earlier that now you have a reason. You think you know why they were doing this to you.
It has.
Or am I putting words in your mouth?
No, there is a reason. And
is it in your book?
No, because recent research proves that this has been genetics. And why we were picked, you know, it's following.
It follows the family, tree.
Yes, ancestry.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was rather proven because my brother, he did do some research. And at the time when he did do family research, he was able to actually talk with some great aunts and uncles yet before they passed. And being...
And Dad had experience.
Yes, okay. And being Hispanic... Mm-hmm. And Hispanic culture. Hispanics do not, anything like this, would not talk. They kept it within.
They never discussed that at all.
No, because they don't want to be called insane. Mm-hmm. They don't want to be called crazy. They don't want to be put into an insane asylum like many people many years ago.
You know, you didn't tell the doctor right off the bat, well, the ET's unwrapped my cast or my leg.
No.
So, and I can understand why. But did you start telling people finally?
When my help came through Mr. Michael Linderman in 1993,
mm-hmm.
he is the one that got a hold of Mr. Bud Hopkins.
Yes.
Because there was just too many of these real dream experiences. And just sitting in the chair, my bedroom chair, where did these bruises come from? Where did these needle marks come from? Why am I feeling this way? There was just too much for me to handle. I couldn't understand until I had a daytime sighting, happening, abduction.
Mm-hmm.
And I told my family at that point in time, you're either going to get me some help by either taking me to a psychiatric ward,
yeah.
psychiatrist, or we need to find someone to help me with this problem. So Mr. Michael Linderman happened to be in Albuquerque a couple of days later. And
yeah, he's a very interesting fellow, too.
Yes.
And so you're lucky you ran across some good people.
Yes, immediately. Mm-hmm. And I was able to talk to him that night.
Right.
And the following Tuesday, he had me calling in California, and that's when he connected me with Mr. Bud Hopkins. And from there, the learning that I have received, all the teaching, getting to meet other alien abductees, a whole realm of people in this field, in this phenomena field, were there mm-hmm. for me. In 1997, because of what transpired on the ship with one of the taller grays, who I call the boss, I found a change because of what I had wanted to ask, a question.
Mm-hmm.
This question was about their supreme being.
Uh-huh.
And because I had prayed to my God,
yes.
my Lord, remove these ungodly creatures from my family, from my children, from me. Get them away. I don't want them in our lives anymore. And then something came over me and said, but, dear Lord, if they are of your creation also, then I will give of myself for human mankind. To ask a question to any of these species, you have to constantly repeat in your head the question. And that way, during an abduction, you'll be able to ask the question.
Did you get an answer?
Yes, I did. And what the answer was, that no theologian, no scientist, not even the Pope, no one knows of the greatest power, light of energy, can be experienced into death. We all have the same supreme being. All species of our universe, which is unending, have this and share this one supreme being.
And now you feel, even though it was a horrific experience, that maybe you were helping out this race or something, is that right?
Well, you feel like a lab rat up until that time, you know.
Yeah.
And then the treatments, which I thought were, you know, a lot of mistreatments.
Yes, yeah, so especially with the reptilians, you said.
Yes, yes. And you know the
Well, would they be, would there be a good and evil here in the reptilians or the evil? I know you perceive them as that.
I perceive the reptilians as very, very evil. And they were in my life up until last year.
And what happened? How'd you get rid of them?
I haven't gotten rid of them. I may not have...
You're not sure.
I'm not sure. Right.
So far, so good.
So good, yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes. During that conversation with the boss, Gray, I even asked him, if we all believe and have the same supreme being, how is it that you have the right to abduct earthlings? What gives you the right, if you love your supreme being, which is my supreme being, what gives you the right to harm us and take us whenever you want? I never got the answer.
Maybe some of them believe in supreme beings and some don't, and maybe he's really evil. You know, I don't know. It's just, you don't really have all of the answers, but
no.
Writing this book, I'm sure, was therapeutic in a way, probably.
It was healing as I wrote each section of the diary. It's basically a diary. And last year, I did begin writing the sequel to Morning Glory.
And when do you think you might finish that? I know you've had a lot of personal experiences that have slowed you down, so...
Hopefully soon. I had made the promise to many of the people that I would have it for this festival. But...
Well, maybe by next year.
Yes.
And we're going to stay in contact with you, and you let us know when that's available. So
I sure will.
Tell everybody.
I sure will. I also wanted to share with you that last year, even because of the book coming out, I had a film producer contact me, and I was in his movie, and the movie is about me, and I don't know if you know Mr. Al Bulick. The name of the movie is called The Hidden Hand. Now, why I wrote the book and decided to be in this movie is because I want to help other abductees who might be today in that same situation that I was in 1988. If I can reach them through a book and now the movie to help them, to understand and to know. Also, to reach other people who do not believe in this phenomena. And also, hopefully, it will answer questions to all the others who are not abductees, but who are very interested in this phenomena. And I have, so far, have succeeded in my wishes that I set out to do. Because I have received so many letters, phone calls, and I have helped all the gifts, all the love of gifts that I received during this time, I felt it was time to give back. I wanted to give back to this community. So I became a hypnotherapist working with alien abductees. And it has been so rewarding.
So someone could contact you that might need the hypnotherapy?
Oh, yes, yes. And they only don't get hypnotherapy. They get my understanding, my love, and my hug, which they need.
Yeah, I understand.
And I don't let go.
It's been a very inspiring and just an emotional hour here with you, and we're almost out of time. But I got a couple of other questions. The abductees, were there any men involved?
Yes. Oh,
okay.
Yes.
I wonder what they're doing with them. Same thing?
Taking semen. Because I was trained after I had asked about, you know, the creation, the supreme being, this mean boss, life changed for me then. They took me and began teaching me the technologies, their technology of bio and bio warfare and chemical warfare and chemical stuff, okay, medical. And from that point in time is when I'm also what you call a mill lab abductee, meaning a fracture of our government and military, I should say also governments, because this is also worldwide.
Yes.
Okay, yes, yeah. They began abducting me as well now. And I am more fine.
Right, well, we've, you have something in common with your friend Leah Haley.
Yes, yes, basically. Yes,
they, it's basically the same thing.
Yes. Very
the government people follow right along after them and doing even worse things.
Right, yes, yes.
It's just incredible.
Yes, but from all this now and because of a hybrid daughter that I love, that I've been with so very many times.
You do see this hybrid daughter?
Yes, I do. Her name is Winshaw. And
Where is she most of the time? Aboard the ship?
On the mothership, yes. I have not seen her about a year and a half now.
How old would she be now?
I would think maybe around 19 years old. They grow a lot quicker than our normal earthly children, our babies. They tend to grow quicker.
You mean mature?
Mature, okay, yes. All of them I find to be very, very, very intelligent, all the species. Are very far intelligent.
That, is she aware that you...
Yes, that I'm her mother. Yes, yes, yes.
So there is that bond?
Yes, there is that bond.
On both sides?
Yes. And like I have had many hybrid children as well. And I remember the first hybrid child that they actually removed from me. They allow the female, when they implant you, you know, with a fetus, with the sperm and what have you, gestation period is normally around 3 months. So they removed one hybrid baby from me, and a baby that is a little bit larger than my hand. They come, the lady, I suspect she is a lady because she had like... her hair, she had a little bit of hair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was so weird. And just because of her actions, I felt, or maybe it was just me, but I took her as a female. She brought this little tiny, tiny baby for me to hold. And all I did, wanted to do, was just open my arms and let that this ungodly little creature fall. I mean, it had the big eyes. It looked part like me, and it looked part them.
Mm-hmm.
And this little, with her eyes just looking at me, the motherly instinct came over, and I just, they want you to nurse the hybrids.
Really?
Yes. So I just, you know, held her closer, and the motherly instinct took over, and I cried dearly when they took her away. I don't know if it was a little male or female, but when they took this little being away. And
why do you think that they let the mothers see these hybrid children?
The emotions.
They
are trying to regain
emotions.
They lost how to love, how to care, how to really understand. And that's what they're trying to get back. And with the hybrid babies, what they're trying to do is a hybrid baby one day with all these hybrid children is to bridge other worlds and our world together to be as one.
And so we're not talking about a new world order, we're talking about a new universe order.
A new universe order, yeah, yes.
Besides the reptilians, which you have discussed and hate and dread to even talk about, how do you feel about the others?
Now I can understand. I'm not afraid.
You're, in other words, you've accepted.
I have accepted, yes. Every time that I am taken now, there is other jobs normally that I do with our government. I just briefly discussed some of these jobs in the book, but it has gone further than that. I don't know if I'm going to feel safe in writing about these so-called, quote, jobs that I am assigned to do.
You mean like our government asking you to do, telling you to do something?
Yes, it's highly, I guess you'd say, unclassified.
Danger.
They did threaten me, and they did threaten my life. It was not my life they took. It was my husband's life they took.
I'm very sorry to hear about that. The last time I talked to you, he was very ill.
Very suddenly, with a very rare, aggressive, fast-growing, cancerous brain tumor. And the doctor waited until after he passed to tell me that his whole brain was nothing but tumor. Why this is under investigation with some main researchers, because 2 months after he passed, another couple, man and lady, they won't give me the names or where this couple live. She also lost her husband a week before my husband passed. The very same
way.
Same way. Very quickly.
And you suspect this is coming from the government rather than the ETs?
Yes. And another couple, after my husband passed, the week after, she lost her husband in the very same manner.
Were these other people?
They were alien nail lab abductees.
And you think this is a threat from the government? Just don't talk anymore, huh?
Yes. Don't do what you're doing. But they're not going to win. They took my love away from me, and now I'm going to fight them. I'm going to talk, even if it means my life. I'm going to talk. I'm going to help.
How does your family feel about this, your daughters? They probably understand in a way. Maybe, I mean, one of them's been abducted at least.
Yes. In fact, I've had two children, and then my husband had also been abducted.
See, I understand what you're saying, and that's the reaction I think I would have. Nobody would know until a tragedy like that happens. But I don't think they would teach me a lesson. I think
they made me angry enough to go forth. They took my husband away from me, and I'm going to continue on. They're not going to shut me up.
We want to help you as much as we can. Anything we can
do
on that investigation, you let us know.
Thank you. I sure will. Thank you ever so much. Thank you.
I believe you're probably right on, unfortunately, about it all. Thanks very much, Gloria. We'll be in contact.
Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Okay.
Thank you. I truly appreciate it.
We'll be talking again, and we want to help you on this government intimidation part. We may not be able to do much about the ETs.
Right.
Yeah.
But with the human being, you can.
You get right.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Gloria.
Thank you so much.